You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We begin today with the American housing market, the American rental housing market, to be precise, and how rent comes to be the rent in the first place. Today, the White House announced a bunch of things it's doing to help the 44 million or so American households that rent the roofs over their heads. The Federal Trade Commission is going to look into whether some tenant background checks are unfair. The Federal Housing Finance Agency is going to look into limiting big rent increases in the properties that that agency helps finance. And while it is true that, yes, rents in some markets are finally cooling, the national median rent, though, is still up more than 20% since the beginning of the pandemic. That's from the website Apartment List. So, Marketplace's Matt Levin spent his day in pursuit of a foundational answer. How exactly do landlords figure out what they should charge for rent in the first place?
Sid Lacoretti is trying to rent out a 680-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment in Oakland, California. It's got a renovated deck, a kitchen island, some LED light fixtures, all for $2,200 a month. How'd he decide on $2,200? He shopped around, just like his tenants would.
I pulled up five different Zillow listings that are comparables in the neighborhood, looked at what the amenities are. You know, some of them were $1,895, but I said, oh, well, look at that. Those are the old Whirlpool appliances.
Lacoretti says pricing the 300 or so units he owns isn't an exact science, which is why he doesn't trust the number the algorithm in his property management software spits out as the recommended rent.
I use it very sparingly because what it doesn't take into account for is the quality of the apartment.
Smaller landlords still mostly look at publicly available comps, says Ben Teresa at Virginia Commonwealth University. But bigger corporate landlords, and especially those in the growing single-family rental market, they're eagerly volunteering their info to more sophisticated big data platforms.
Property managers will input, you know, the rents, vacancy rates, and other types of data, perhaps operating expenses and things like that.
Teresa says if enough landlords are telling the algorithm exactly what they're charging, it raises questions about whether rising rents are partly because of collusion.
It does provide a coordinating action across a marketplace that would not exist without the technology.
Of course, renters also have a lot more data on local rents than they had, say, 10 years ago. But Shanti Singh at the advocacy group Tenants Together says with the better data landlords have, if you're a renter,
I'd argue you're in a worse position.
Unless, she says, you live in a rent-controlled apartment. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
A glance at the economic calendar for the week reminds us that the Federal Reserve's favorite measure of inflation comes out Friday morning, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. And as enamored as Jay Powell and his colleagues in the big building on Constitution Avenue in Washington might be with it, one cannot help but wonder, is PCE the most accurate measure of price increases? Put another way, does it deserve all the Fed love it gets? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is on that one.
Imagine driving a car only using the rearview mirror, not paying any attention to what's in front of you. That's kind of what the Fed has done with the PCE price index, which tells us what happened the previous month. Quincy Crosby, chief global strategist for LPL Financial, says she also keeps an eye on more current measures.
We see from other indicators that the path of inflation is coming down more quickly.
These indicators might not show up right away in the lagging PCE, things like rent, which Crosby says is edging down. Another problem with the PCE, it's not as reliable as usual because of how the pandemic has distorted inflation.
It's an interesting period right now.
That's Nationwide Chief Economist Kathy Bosjancic with the understatement of the year. She says the PCE is a broad measure of inflation. It doesn't give as much weight to consumer staples like gas as its flashy cousin, the Consumer Price Index. Bosjancic says there's a gap between the two, with the PCE consistently showing lower inflation.
Gasoline prices in the summer had soared to up and around $5 per gallon. You know, during that period, that would help explain one reason why we had the gap.
Also during the pandemic, demand for furniture and other stay-at-home stuff skyrocketed, sending those prices soaring, says Michael Gapin, head of U.S. economic research at B of A Securities.
So the final costs of things that households bought went sharply higher. It was a consumer-driven inflation story.
But Gapin says the PCE only told part of that story. He does think the PCE will become more accurate as pandemic inflation fades. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.